What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling, too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that, too. Love for you to give us a listen. If you haven't already, we are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Kids, do you like professional wrestling? Well,
we do.
We like professional wrestling too. I am Jeff Hawkins. He is Chris Novembrino. This is Shake Them Ropes. Full gear preview later. Chris doesn't follow jack squat for the news. I am.
Yeah, you know what? I'm plugged in. I'm plugged in to the needs of the people now. More than ever. No, when you're out on the trams, right? That's your time to be among the Volk. That's the German.
Tourists aren't regular Volk.
No, I know, but a lot of them are German, so that's why I used Volk. you get to really know what the gente are like. That's the Spanish word for the people.
Okay. Not hentai.
No, Jeff. I'm a man of the people, not a man of the Pornhub.
No, thank you. In the news today, according to Loan Marketplace Lending Tree, 31% of Gen Z consumers have stolen items from self-checkout kiosks, compared to 15% of consumers of any age. Within that, 44% plan to continue stealing from self-checkout kiosks.
Wait. This is the thing that made you turn against Gen Z.
Yes. While 37%. While 37% said that they would do to save money on groceries or healthcare goods, according to the survey. So, Chris.
Yeah, good for
Chris,
them.
My question for you is, do we need to kill all of Gen Z or just instill the death penalty for property?
No, we need to make them president.
We
need another geriatric.
No, that's not my point. My point is, I am a man who feels that an organized society is the type that scorns people who don't even bring back the shopping cart, because that's what brings order. That's the judge of personal character. If we have people now just stealing willy-nilly from self-checkout kiosks because, hey, it doesn't really hurt anybody and capitalism is theft or whatever the hell.
No. Name me the person it hurts. Paul Derrickson?
Billy Fredrickson. How much you get of it?
Jimmy Williamson.
It hurts society. Tommy, it's a moral pain. It's a moral pain, Chris.
Ask McWilliamson.
no such person as ass
weak. Oh, well, he's hurt. And he's hurt that you would deny him.
So he's a chap-ass McWilliams?
Yeah, he is. Chap-ass McWilliams. Okay, see, that's the type of prejudice that ass McWilliamson has been going through his entire life.
What is ass short for? And by the way, now we're going to get Aster. Demonetized. Because Aster. You're cussing too
it's
much.
No, it's short for Aster, the classic British name. That's how you abbreviate it.
A tradition unlike any other. The Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame issue came out this week. And once again, we must overrate somebody in New Japan and get them in the Hall of Fame. But anyways, just for edification purposes, Rocca and Perez, the beauty pair, classic All Japan women's team, Sergeant Slaughter finally making it in, Jack and Jerry Briscoe, Tomohiro Ishii, Blue Panther, and George Kidd. I don't expect you to have any thoughts of this. It's just something I wanted to read, Chris.
I mean... Is Ishii Hall of Fame?
No,
I don't think so. I don't. I when I used to watch a lot of wrestling, I know that he was a critic's darling. I get that. And I get that some of us over here stateside too, like sort of really built around a narrative of like he's like a heel underdog, you know, like there's like all these like weird layers to Ishii, and that he's super compelling in this sense. And I love he had some great matches.
I love him. I do, but
he did. No, but I love Shibata back in the G1, back in that same era. And I would never be like Katsuyori Shibata should be in the Hall of Fame. And I guess if that's controversial, okay, I can live with that too. But like, and I love Shibata. Like, peak Shibata matches are actually some of my, like, if you were going to like make Chris's top 50 matches or whatever, Shibata would definitely be in there in that peak era. But
it's very small like, pond thing, but go ahead.
Right. Much like Ishii, I just because he might like land in a top 50 of mine. For some select matches, so would Hakushi.
Yeah,
you know, like, and I love Jinsei Shinzaki, but like, is he a Hall of Famer? No, he's not. He's just a very good wrestler, and that's how I feel about Ishii.
Yeah, and you know, they go with longevity because he's been in the business since 91, I think. But also, I mean, here was the argument, and I believe even Voices of Wrestling echoed this in their Patreon audio reviews of candidates and whatnot. It's the work rate thing. That gets him in over the last 10, especially over the last 10 or so years in New Japan and all these 4 and 5 star matches he's been having. And yes, the number one voter of Ishii in the Hall of Fame was reporters, not historians, not active wrestlers, not retired wrestlers. It was reporters. So
he was a critic's darling.
Yes. He's a critic's darling.
And that's when we started on Voices that, you know, that was very much the climate, not, you know, I'm not even saying like at Voices. I'm saying like broadly speaking, because I was listening to a lot of different types of wrestling podcasts at that point. That was, people loved Ishii. Like there was no, you never heard a bad word about him. And I'm not like about to like.
I'm not either.
Now I'm going to tell you what's wrong with all.
No,
this.
I think he's perfectly fine, but he was, I mean, it was also.
I never quite saw it at that level the same way they all did.
For me, my minor criticism, I mean, and I've had a few on here, and one is that Japanese people who are voted in the Japanese region get it's easier to make it in the Hall of Fame if you're isolated in your Japanese work and you're kind of there, but it's like it's a weird hodgepodge of things where they'll argue the criteria to you and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, but to me it's, you know, it's an eyeball test too. Is he a Hall of Famer, yes or no? And I guess there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of arguing about that. I try not to get that involved in it. I mean, I've been offered a ballot. I really don't want to get involved in it. So it's like, okay, great. On to other news. WWE announced that WWE Backlash France will be the first ever WWE premium live event to be held in France, emanating from the LDLC Arena in Lyon-Décines, I think that's how you say it, on Saturday, May 4th, 2024. We're going all in on this European stuff, Chris, between the German PLE. Looks like we're going to probably have another British one pretty soon. We have one in Australia. We are actively expanding right now.
Hmm. we're all actively expanding. There's a way, honestly, about of thinking of the universe where all of us are constantly growing.
Oh, this imagine is gonna be one of those. I have to do some heavy lifting on this show.
No, you're not. You're not. Because like I'm about to lay something heavy on everyone. Imagine if all of the matter in your body was doubling constantly. You'd be constantly growing. It's not
people have to understand what I go through before I turn this.
What he gets is a 10-year radio professional at the peak of his game.
And smoking a lot of weed. okay. No thoughts on WWE expansion into Europe.
I mean, look, thoughts wise on this. I think that they're going to be more disciplined on this rather than with a multifaceted corporate structure than they were under Vince, because Vince never gave that much of a shit about going.
Yeah.
Into. So I expect them to actually get some results. I think this will probably yield a Gunther push. He's Gunther, right? I keep wanting to actually call him Walter, but it's Gunther.
In the German part, yeah. In France, I think it's going to be interesting because I don't think they have any. I mean, other than like a couple of the UK kids, but the people who would probably be really big there right now, barring a French superstar, are the French Canadians like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens, yeah, right. Owens might actually do really well going there and speaking some French.
Cutting a French promo, exactly.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
Or John Cena trying to cut a broken French promo like he does with Chinese. Oh, those are terrible. PWG announcing via Twitter no more shows for this year as Super Dragon's girlfriend battles cancer. Keep her in your prayers. Simultaneously, an odd thing here in LA indie wrestling. The same night or very soon thereafter, the Globe Theater, which is where PWG was doing most of their shows post-Reseda, announced it was closing effective immediately. And then 24 hours, it's been saved. Someone needs insurance money, methinks, Chris.
I think that's probably the right estimation on that one.
Something like that. In an interesting piece of advertising, WWE and the Big 12 Conference announced collaboration for the upcoming 2023 Dr. Pepper Big 12 Football Championship on Saturday, December 2nd, held at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Basically, what this amounts to is, if you've ever watched these games at halftime, they do this thing that Dr. Pepper sponsors, where two college kids go down there and see how many footballs they can throw into a container, and the person who gets the most gets something like a $10,000 scholarship or something like that. Well, WWE, in addition, is going to give them a championship belt. Now, my feeling on this is twofold. I think it's good publicity. I just don't see it as good advertising, because you don't really draw anybody to your product by doing it that way. So which one of these am I wrong on?
I mean, I think it's...
Here's a belt. I mean, they do that with sports teams, too, but it doesn't drive people
And
it
doesn't do anything for them.
It gets PR hits. It does. I mean, because people pose with it. You know, you see the photos and stuff, but it doesn't bring new fans in or anything like that.
Right? It goes back to... Is that getting Ass McWilliamson to tune in to... don't deny his personhood.
You need to drop this name is what you need to do.
I don't. It's a good name. It's a beautiful name that his mother gave him. But beyond that,
what was his mother's name?
Astrid.
No. Oh God. Continue.
Does he tune in to watch the show? I mean, that's the real question here. Like, are there real people who go from watching the Big 12 show to doing this? It's lovely to get a PR shot, like, but does LeBron James taking a photo with the WWE belt 7 or 8 years ago get a single human being to tune into WWE's product and become a WWE fan? I'm unconvinced that it does.
Do you remember the story around that? where he was going to take the photo with the title or whatever, and then they brought Undertaker down there to go meet him, and he big-timed Undertaker. Undertaker was dressed in full gear and just speaking of full gear. No, last night it appeared on air, but Becky Lynch giving the worst performance in Celebrity Jeopardy history. 60 questions, 5 answers, all of them wrong. She did get Final Jeopardy correct. But this topped Wolf Blitzer as the most inept person to ever do Celebrity Jeopardy. I felt for her. This is the kind of bad publicity you don't want out of your wrestlers.
But again, does this get a single person to tune out?
No, it does not.
Right, and that's my same point as before here.
Okay.
Which is a good and salient point, Jeffrey.
It is.
It is.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. McWilliamson will love that.
Mama McWilliamson is proud of her baby boy.
Oh, Lord.
Mama.
Kota Ibushi is officially All Elite. Tony Khan announcing the signing shortly after Dynamite went off the air last night.
Hot diggity deuce.
Chris has negative thoughts about this. I don't know. I mean.
Oh, no. I can't wait to see Kota Ibushi in this feud against. But also. And also.
Fair enough. I think it's another guy.
I'm looking forward to it.
Another guy.
It is.
Kota looked.
They don't have a lot of men on the roster.
Kota has lost half of a step, and while he's still very, very good, I don't think he's quite healed yet. And it showed in that when he was doing the when he and Kenny during the street fight did kind of the do-si-do to do moonsaults off of the various corners. Old Kota was having a bit of trouble getting his footing and then finally jumping on there. So yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. He'll probably get put into this mix with the Callis family, et cetera, et cetera.
He's just an ancillary. I don't think they have any real long-term plans for him. He doesn't look particularly sharp right now. I have no interest in seeing him feud with anyone in particular in this company.
Speaking of which,
okay,
Tony Khan put out a very interesting tweet prior to Dynamite and was brought up on Dynamite. On commentary, kind of veiled in a way, and it will get us into our Full Gear preview. AEW has agreed to terms with one of the world's best wrestlers, a pro who is known and respected by virtually every AEW fan. They will come to LA to sign their contract this Saturday on pay-per-view at AEW Full Gear. See you tonight on TBS for the final AEW Dynamite before Full Gear. Now, as you are not in the X-verse, you have not heard
gotta
the...
Gotta be Sable.
No. You have not heard the discussion. There's a lot of chatter that this might be Will Ospreay coming in officially. There's a lot of talk this might be Mercedes finally signing on the dotted line with AEW. And one of the outside picks, dark horse picks, if you will, is Chris Hero possibly signing a talent deal since he's already working backstage with ROH.
They now, played this up even bigger though on Dynamite, but also hilariously stopped after announcing, well, that's a blockbuster announcement. None of them even remotely speculated as to who it could be.
And that is where I come in, because I think this smells a little bit. And I'm thinking we're getting an angle. And let me explain why, because my wheels started turning, because the obfuscation on he or she or whatever is also on purpose. Chris, do you happen to recall, I believe it was either a year or 2 years ago at the Forum in Los Angeles where Full Gear takes place, a certain angle that took place in there in AEW with one Maxwell Jacob Friedman calling Tony an effing mark, while television executives were all there in attendance to watch. And he almost got them an FCC fine as a result of it. Hear me out. This is the war of 2024 is coming. What if the person who has signed a new contract, so to speak, is MJF. And we're going to do a re-signing ceremony here. And perhaps we get an angle where either the contract is torn up and Max's last match, quote unquote, is in Nassau, Long Island, New York, for December, his hometown, or the devil and his minions come out and just destroy everybody, including Tony Khan. I'm hoping it's not Tony Khan getting involved as an on-screen presence per se.
But you always feel like it's kind of inevitable. Like,
yes,
that this company has to inevitably end with Tony Khan becoming an obnoxious on-screen character, just like Eric Bischoff and Dixie Carter.
The whole point of this War of 2024 thing has been to heal AEW not paying him immediately.
What if Tony Khan is the devil?
We brought this up last week. I think it's still on the table, Chris. I honestly do.
I think so too.
And it scares the crap out of me because if AEW fans are this, how should I put this? They are not happy.
They've been extremely tolerant of him as an on-screen character in a way that I don't think has been justified for a long time now.
They have, but they have been actively and openly rebelling against some of the comedy sketches and some of the more lighthearted, thematic, Stanford-adjacent type of stuff. If Tony Khan unmasks as the devil in any way, now he might be behind the devil. That would be interesting, too. But I think this gets a collective groan from the AEW faithful. I think they start to tune out.
I think so too, but it wouldn't surprise me given the whole, remember that one segment months ago, for all the you people who think I don't watch anything at all, like, look, this one,
that's me,
that's you. I then multiply you and that becomes part of my shame matrix.
Okay,
yeah.
Now what were you about to go into? Those of us who doubt you.
Those of you who, yeah, and that's you, and the hundreds behind you, the hundreds. So for those of you who doubt, like months ago, Khan did this segment where he had MJF and was it Adam Cole go into his locker room and he yelled at them like nothing, and that was like all done for comedic effect or whatever. I mean, they've actually been setting the table for Tony Khan behind closed doors is a monster for a minute here. It's on the table. I'm with you. They've been setting things up.
My actual bet, if I had to bet Chris Novembrino's money on this.
You shouldn't. It's just like not that much of it.
All $1.50 of it. If I had to bet it.
Hey, no, whoa. I'm almost 40 and there's like upwards of 750 in my bank account.
Okay. Right? If I had to bet upwards of 750, I would say it's Will Ospreay. I'm going to say they're going to go that route. But there's a part of me that just, this is just screaming angle to me in the back of my mind. So if I do that, I look like a genius, but I'm going to parse my bets or hedge my bets, if you will. So that will bring us into the lazy river of wrestling criticism, where we watched whatever is on our mind, whatever we're just thinking about right now. We will start at the beach of the lazy river. Preview, Full Gear, Saturday evening here in lovely Los Angeles / Inglewood, California. I am on a plane first thing tomorrow morning, so I won't be here for that. My apologies.
I live in New Mexico, so I won't be there either.
Okay. Chris will not be there either.
Just wanted to clear that up. No, no one ever asked me.
You're in Albuquerque. If there was a show in Albuquerque, they'd ask you.
There won't be.
Okay, there will never be because that territory is dead. 9 matches announced. There'll probably be 20 more announced sometime tonight on the combined Rampage / Collision. Who knows? But for now, there's only one pre-show match, and that pre-show match, Chris, is for the ROH World Tag Team Championship, MJF and to be announced. Versus the guns of Austin Gunn and Colton Gunn. Who is TBA and how do you see this go down, Chris?
I think MJF retains and it's because he gets the help of Samoa Joe.
I am going the opposite way. I think it is Samoa Joe. I think Samoa Joe gets taken out early by whoever the devil and his minions are. I think MJF then decides to go it alone, and I think the guns then beat him. Because I think it's time to, because I don't think MJF wants to work the Ring of Honor pay-per-view next month, Final Battle. I think it's time to take the belts off of him. Let him just be an AEW talent so he doesn't have to do double duty. That's
my opinion. So my only contrarian thought to that is that narratively they have not told a lot of a story.
That's true too.
Yeah, like they just haven't done a lot of work to him losing the titles. And like the guns still are kind of presented as goobers. I don't care about the enhancement match on Dynamite here. They are still goobery. They're the ass boys.
I concur.
Not to be confused with Mama Astrid's baby boy, Mr. McWilliamson.
So McWilliamson couldn't be part of the guns?
He could be.
Okay.
He's not Billy Gunn's kid.
I don't know. Gunn kind of got around in the
You know what they can make? They can make the Ass Foundation. It's kind of like the Heart Foundation, only it's Billy Gunn's kids.
I hate you so much right now. Moving on to the main card, 8 matches thus far announced, while Chris pats himself on the back and thinks how clever he is for that one.
Almost got you to spit take. I was this close.
Yeah, I know. only add more water. For the AEW Women's World Championship, Hikaru Shida versus Timeless Toni Storm with Lutha. It appears that they did an entire vignette on Dynamite just to prove that they had the video capabilities to turn things into black and white and color off and
That was wonderfully executed.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, no, it was just a lovely bit of cinema right there. I don't think Storm wins this match.
Huh.
I know. I kind of thought she did. I thought she was going to, but I feel like she's going to come up short. I think that like this is going to be the start of her turning Mariah May heel or whatever, but like she's not going to win here.
See, I think the story is eventually that Mariah May becomes a better Toni Storm and it starts driving her insane. It's all about Eve. Is what the story they're going to be going for.
So what if Mariah May ultimately ends up winning this title then?
And then it drives Toni Storm mad? I think that's the end game. I could see Storm.
So I think Storm has to lose here then.
Okay. I think to start the story, I think Mariah May helps Toni Storm win it. And then Toni Storm eventually loses it. And then Mariah May wins it. And then that drives Toni Storm mad. I think that's the order here, but I could see your thing. I could see them just cutting to Toni Storm going even more deeper into her psychosis and bad black and white comedy.
Regardless, here's the thing that I know. This isn't going to be good.
The match?
No, the match will be fine.
Okay.
That match between Toni Storm and Hikaru Shida will be very well worked. The actual stuff with Toni Storm in the aftermath of this is going to suck because this black and white segment sucked.
Yeah, we're getting into the melodrama comedy. We'll see what happens. 6-man tag team match. Straight tag team match. Kind of surprising. Sting, Darby Allin, and Adam Copeland with Ric Flair versus Christian Cage, Luchasaurus, and Nick Wayne. I still think Sting jumps off of something very tall onto some people.
Well, yeah. I mean, Sting... This era Sting just rules. I never am not hyped for a Sting match. I know it's like a double negative right there, but like Sting matches rule. They're all great. I know it's smoke and mirrors, but it's not this Paul White crap smoke and mirrors. Like the way they use Sting does stuff. They just pace it out. It's great. I love Sting matches.
Now I do. I really do. I look forward to them.
Yeah, straight up, Sting doesn't have a stinker match in AEW. You're hard pressed to find one.
Does Ric Flair either take a bump or get involved somehow in the finish here?
Oh boy. You know, Ric Flair is a legend of professional wrestling, Jeff. And I think when we think about his legacy, broadly speaking, his work with the Horsemen, but also, of course, in WWF and otherwise. I don't care.
I don't either. I don't think he turns on Sting at this point, but that's coming down the road sometime. I think he'll probably like crotch Nick Wayne or something, and then that'll help give the baby faces the win. Because I think there's some weird thing in Tony Khan that thinks that Ric Flair helping the baby faces will get a huge pop. I kind of disagree, but that's me.
Ric Flair, I just don't care to see him on my TV at this point.
I agree. Singles match for the AEW International Championship. Orange Cassidy, the champion, versus Jon Moxley in what should be a hoot and a holler. I have Orange Cassidy winning this. I know that there's a lot of people saying that we're just going to circle back to Moxley because he lost the title.
No, I think Cassidy, I'm with you. I think Cassidy wins this, that he is able to overcome the Moxley specter. You know what I mean? Like this match is about him being able to overcome that.
Yeah, that, and I'm kind of liking this story with Orange Cassidy has finally found something he cares about, and he's no longer ambivalent or slothful or whatever, and it's this international title. Moxley's awesome. I thought Moxley was awesome in that tag match versus Hook and Orange Cassidy and the promo afterwards. Yeah,
no, God, he was great. I thought that was a really great way to present Moxley in this dominant way. Wheeler Yuta gets this little dick heel win, right?
Like, yeah, with the seatbelt.
But he like, tags himself in. He didn't need to either. Moxley could have clearly won for the pin. But like Wheeler Yuta kind of like slides in and gets some glory too. I liked it. I thought that this match was actually a really well structured match.
I agree. What I think is going to be match of the night: Hangman Adam Page versus Swerve Strickland with Prince Nana.
Really?
I think this match is going to be, it's a Texas death match, Chris. And we know Swerve can do the death matches with AR Fox. Adam Page is better than AR Fox is. And I think this is going to be much like the Lucha Underground match where they are going to go out of control on this thing. And now let me state this. I really liked the Adam Page promo. I really did. There was just part of me that went, all right, he's got, you know, you're a loser, you're a loser, you're a loser. Oh, yeah, and your fiance left you. I went, whoa, hold on here.
Remember when we were talking last week about, like, the Kenny Omega's uncle promo? Like, yes. Yeah, you know, like, that. This guy stabbed Kenny Omega in the bar 21 years ago. The unearned off-screen character wronging narrative thing that, like, AEW likes to do, that immediately snapped back into my brain as I was watching this segment this week, where I was just like, nope, completely unearned. That just like stupid off-screen crap. Don't care. Don't want to hear about it.
And Prince Nana is using you and taking your winnings and buying weed from high school kids.
That was to steal his weed chant. I'm not sure how I feel about how we got there, but damn,
his reaction was fantastic.
I arrived at a place I liked. So that's how I feel about that section of that promo.
I really liked the button to it because of the whole stipulation of Swerve can't
also
touch Hangman.
Well structured, right? I thought that was very clever. He beats the crap out of Nana.
Out of Nana, and then Swerve can't save Nana. It was great. I loved it.
It's like a chess move where, like, you've moved your piece into check, and you can't do anything to defend it because it imperils the king.
That'd be a checkmate.
Well, I mean, like, you move, like, a piece like
you move it back and forth.
Okay, I guess the term would be into peril if you want to use like the full chess parlance of our
I
term.
Don't check is fine.
No,
I
get... you do. No, like you want to parse words.
Check is a threat.
Live in a world of semantics, Jeff.
Check is a threat to the king that the king can get out of somehow by sacrificing a piece or moving the king
it
or
also
something else.
Check to the queen politely.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Who
right?
do you have in this match? I have Hangman Adam Page.
I have Strickland.
Really? Why?
Why?
Yes.
Page got the upper hand in the promo.
Okay. But hold on. Swerve broke into his house.
Yep.
He has to get his comeuppance.
Nope. Does he?
Yes.
Is that really? Is that
WWE?
Really?
You don't have to. In AEW, you kind of have to. Don't
I
you?
Mean, he. But didn't Prince Nana get what he deserved?
Well, yes. But now Swerve needs to get what he deserves.
He does, but will he? And I say no.
Fair enough, counselor. You may rest.
Defense rests.
In a tag team match, the Golden Jets of Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho versus the Young Bucks of Matt and Nick Jackson.
Banger names.
If the Golden Jets win, they will get the Young Bucks AEW World Tag Team Championship opportunity. If the Young Bucks win, the Golden Jets must disband as a team. Now, a mea culpa from me. I loved the Young Bucks promo with Kenny there, reminding him that his greatest success came when he was a heel and when he was under the tutelage of Don Callis. I kind of liked that throwing it back in his face when Kenny came out all judgmental about the Young Bucks' savoir-faire versus Young Commander and Penta El Cerro Miero, which was a hell of a match, I thought, too. I really liked that.
I know, I in particular normally don't have a lot of like laudatory words for the Bucks' matches, but I thought that this was like basically the perfect kind of TV match for them. They established a new character. The match had a narrative point, especially in the finish there, and they worked their style of match. They had good, reasonable opponents that make some degree of narrative sense and have some degree of heat to them and some degree of credibility to them as a team. And even the promo, to your point, I was watching that and thinking, that's an interesting argument for why the Bucks might join Don Callis.
Yes, I think that's going to happen.
Right. So a lot of it, I thought, was actually fairly clever for a thing that I haven't generally found to be particularly clever.
Jericho pulling the kid thing, which I think is also a punk reference because he likes to call people kid a lot.
I got to tell you, the millions of people across America, they care deeply about this, like these deep references into CM Punk. You talk to the average person on the street. You ride on a tram, let's say. And all you could hear is people going like, remember what happened to Phil Brooks about 6 months ago? And like, I had to sit there and be like, well, I'm trying to tell you about the mountain here. And they're like, no, I want to talk about Phil Brooks. And I'm like, that's not really a thing we talk about during this part of the presentation. And they're like, no, but like CM Punk, he got done dirty. And it's hard to disagree with them, isn't it?
Now, before you pick a winner of this match, keep in mind that there is a four-way for the tag team titles later. Who do you got?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I've silenced him.
Yeah, no, now you've actually got me. Like, you said that, and that's the thing that made me pause. It's like, is it a better I mean, not that this is the driving
thing. I'll tell you why I told you that, because I think I know who should win that four-way, but I can make excuses for two of those other teams in there getting belted as tag team champions, but I don't think it's time yet to take the title. Titles off of Starks and Big Bill. So I have Omega and Jericho winning this somehow.
I guess Omega and Jericho win this and they get the shot.
I think Jericho probably cheats to win against the Bucks, which further makes the Bucks heelish. I also like that they pulled out the Judas effect in that Young Bucks match. I appreciate them stealing the move and doing it to solidify their heel status.
I mean, I like that, and I always like when a heel steals like a babyface's move, they do it, but like in a trashy version where it's less effective.
Not that the Judas effect is that sharp.
I mean, but weirdly protected, like people rarely kick out of the Judas effect.
That's true. Speaking of finishers that stink. One of these participants, Chris Statlander versus Julia Hart versus Sky Blue, three-way match for the AEW.
Just the one finisher that stinks, you say?
The three-way match for the AEW.
It's hard because there's not just one, Jeff. You see, there's actually multiple. So now I have to sit here as you say whatever your setup is. AEW dead boobity
TBS bop. Championship. Thank you.
Championship. It's great. And I have to parse out which one of these three finishers stinks.
I was talking about Sky Blue because she can't.
Oh, it's just hers.
Just hers.
It's just hers. You're right.
Julia Hart's winning this to continue this terrible, terrible story, and I don't understand what the hell they're doing with Sky Blue here, because she's still doing the mopey crap, but it's obvious that she has her own...
Stuff. This is good.
Is it?
Cinema.
And then Chris Statlander, who can't cut a promo to save her life, God bless her. I mean, she is just boring on promos. I mean, no delivery. It's like she has no personality in real life. It's probably one of those things where the camera comes on and you're just a dullard in some way. But man, I just, speaking of which, cats.
I mean, this is the thing. What if Chris Statlander came out and threw a cat on one or more of their faces?
Like a black cat even?
Hey, why not?
And they all become witches. I think Willow somehow gets involved in this thing.
You know what? They get, you'll like this. Hold fire, Squire. You familiar with a little classic rock?
Yes. You
like classic rock?
Yes.
All right, dig this. So, Statlander throws, she's now Catlander, one. That's move one.
Oh, God.
Two. She throws the cats at people, and you'll like this again because you're a classic rock fan, and they get cat scratch fever, and that drives them crazy.
And then the AEW faithful turn on her because they hate Ted Nugent and his politics.
No, but they have cat eyes, and so they turn back. Anime.
I can't get past Chris Catlander. That is so good, yet so terrible. I hate you so much that I didn't think of it first. Oh, God. Okay, moving on before I drive myself insane. Four-way tag match for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. Ricky Starks and Big Bill versus La Faction Ingobernable of Rush and Dralistico versus FTR, Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood versus the Kings of the Black Throne, Malachi Black and Brody King. Show some love for last week's Rampage. That FTR versus Vikingo and Commander match was spectacular. My problem is I want the feud. I want the two luchadors and Alex Abrahantes to be cutting promos about how this is the new style of tag team wrestling. You old heads over there, you're washed up. We're gonna run all around the place. I want it to be a modern day like Rock and Roll Express versus Tully and Arn feud with Cash and Dax being no, we're technical wrestlers. We're gonna grind you down and continue to do it. Instead, they just do the match, and I'm just like, it's a great match, but man. What a story they could have told with a feud here, with a little bit of build, and we unfortunately had the enhancement match on Thursday, yesterday on Ring of Honor, and I've watched clips of it. It was awesome. It was Commander and Vikingo versus Chris Daniels and Matt Sydal. And I was like, yes, this is the story I want to tell. They're the athletic new type of tag team taking on the crafty veterans, but we don't really tell stories. We just kind of have matches. I've already said. Ricky Starks and Big Bill retained. Do you have any difference in that?
No, I got Starks and Big Bill retaining here.
I like them as a team, too.
I do, too. They make a lot of sense.
Bill's great.
Yeah. And he works as a really solid foil for Starks, you know, like for the heel, like hot tag, you know, the reverse psychology of the hot tag, right? Like where you tag into the giant and the giant starts dominating a little bit on the baby faces thing. Like he's perfect.
And finally, for the AEW World Championship, MJF versus Jay White.
I mean, I don't see Jay White winning the title.
I don't either, and I think they're going to have... Now, does...
So many weeks holding the belt that he's not winning the belt.
Do we reveal the devil here, or do we wait for Nassau at the year's end?
We reveal that the devil is not MJF.
Okay.
I think so. Like, it's like we reveal the devil that it can't be MJF because it's not MJF and the devil. It, you know what I mean? Like, unless they're going to do the weirdest things in the world of AEW, it can't possibly be.
Now they can do the two ghost face thing, like Scream 1. And he's one devil and they attack him to get the red herring going.
So I still think then the finish is something like at least the question is strongly raised because MJF and the devil end up face to face, but we don't know who the devil is.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that'll do it for AEW unless we get back there in the Lazy River somehow. But Chris, what else in the Lazy River caught your attention this week?
All right. So we had NXT here. Obviously this week, and Chase, you lose the belt back to the family, which I thought was just a very lazy move. Like, I mean why, especially as you're starting the angle around Andre Chase, right? Like, why take the belts off of them? It should be like this whole tarnished champions thing. Like they gave up the ghost on this story too fast, but it's a stupid story too.
They do a lot of things in WWE from time to time that echo current headlines,
right? And I get the whole Jim Harbaugh thing.
Yeah, and this is what they're doing, I think. So they just decided to do this for craps and giggles.
But like taking is narratively stupid in the sense
agree.
If you're gonna make the whole thing that they won on tarnished calls, like what the hell does that even mean in wrestling? But like, but beyond that, then like they should stay the champions, but to the ire of the fan base. Like that should be the thing that drives their heeldom. And Duke Hudson's always been a dick.
Yes. But
he's never been likable. So like now you actually have Chase, who you like but is bad. I mean, like you can kind of like basically turn Chase you heel very like slowly over a couple of weeks because of Andre Chase's or not in a couple, but like a month scandal that he needs to hang on to the tag titles because that's the only way he can make enough money to pay off what he owes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
I'll stay in the NXT neighborhood for a bit. Let me start by saying I think Chad Gable versus Noam Dar is going to be an outstanding match next week. I think that's going to be great. My question is between Raw and between NXT, the character of Otis. Is Otis creepy or funny with the sexualized thing? Because that's the thing that would make Vince laugh back at, oh, look, the fat guy thinks he's sexy type of thing. And the delusion is funny. But the way he was talking to Legend.
It's creepy, right? Like,
it's creepy.
There's a way that people used to think of, like, and I blame a lot of this on the Otis character being built around the Chris Farley Chippendales character.
Yes.
And a lot of like the Chris Farley, like Saturday Night Live characters, and time has moved beyond that. So I don't care if you look like Otis or conversely you look like Ricky Starks shaking your hips at a woman. Like, you know, like the things that Otis says are not.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like that. The oh yeah is the least of his worries, right?
Yeah.
Like,
no, it is.
Right. Like it's. I mean, it's this. I mean, that.
I mean, that whole thing with Lash and Miss Jackson. Oh yeah, Lash Legend. You're just like, what are you doing? You creep. You freak.
Right. Like he comes off as a creep, and then I thought like Chad Gable getting the match and not Otis was weirdly anticlimactic too. And I'm like, I mean, not that I don't think that Gable and Dar's not going to be a good match, but that, like clearly
I think he might win.
Oh, you think he's going to win?
I think he might win this cup. To, you know, if beating Gunther is still on the table, which I don't think it is, I think this is the consolation prize. While I'm on the metaphor, Lash Legend versus Roxanne, surprisingly solid.
Right? And like this was, I've called her Trash Legend in the past, but like this was not that. This wasn't that.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. She's
improved.
Very good. She's very good as that large heel, formidable adversary sort of role. No,
especially with Roxanne being so tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, man. No. This is a really strong pairing. I agree on that.
Your turn, sir.
All right. I mean, I didn't even make it. Dude, you know what? Here's my commentary on Baron Corbin. I'm so done with this guy that knowing that he was in the main event was a prompt for me to turn off the show. I was like, oh, it's Baron Corbin in the main event. Cool, I can move on with my life. Like, I watched the promos earlier in the show. To even paraphrase The Simpson, perfectly cromulent. he's just a guy. Like, anyone could do this.
I like him, but it's just one of those things where
anyone could do it, Jeff.
No, I mean, if everyone were that tall, everyone could do it.
No, but you know what I mean? Like this gimmick, like you could give this to Big Bill. You could give this to like any guy who is big.
He has a weird anti-charisma about him. You know, it's like he's not very charismatic, but at the same time he is. in his delivery. It's so weird.
I'm not even going to deny. You know what? Not going to deny that. There's a thing about him. A thing about him that doesn't stink. Yeah. But like the at the end of the day, his matches are boring. Like he
they're by the numbers. They're paint by numbers.
They're super by the numbers. They have no intensity.
Yes.
They have no spunk. They have no nuance or depth. There's no twist to any of them. It's the same moves. Slides under the canvas, comes back around the turnbuckle, comes back up, hits him with, I think it's a clothesline. That's his most interesting way of locomoting around the ring. And outside of that, it's a very lovely looking deep six. Like his looks very clean. I will grant that. He does that very nicely. And his other move, what's it called? I forget. The fall to pieces or some crap like that. The fade to black.
Fade to black or something like that.
I don't know. You know, it's like
black hole slam.
It's like some 90s like radio single turned into a wrestling move. Whatever it is. He does that. All his two signature moves look good. His slide under the turnbuckle, you know, slide around, loop-de-loop move looks good. And that's a Baron Corbin match. There's no depth or twist to it. Like, I never want to see him as a champion because he's not going to be able to deliver a good match as a champion like that. He does have an anti-charisma on the microphone. I'm not gonna deny that. Like, he is a fun guy to hate.
Yeah.
But it's not a fun guy. It's not a guy I hate that I want to see in a match.
True. I have a button on NXT, and then I'm going to go into a different point here. Lexus King, it's a fun character where he's taking credit for things he didn't do. He's the guy behind the he's taking credit for the beating of Trick Williams, but yet not, just to make a name for himself. It's a lot like that Sean O'Hare character. Kind of where that used to be, you know, kind of the manifestation of the devil type thing, the trickster thing. But your point on Baron got me to thinking both major shows, or I mean, even all three, if you count NXT for the week, but there's a weird thing with crowds right now where they were dead for a lot of things. And I think it's because they become so indoctrinated in the pattern. That, you know, that all the heat will happen during the commercial break and stuff. And they're just sitting there waiting for the comeback. Like that was the most dead Southern California wrestling crowd I've ever heard on this week's Dynamite. Like they were giving them nothing for most of those matches. I mean, it was just weird.
That's a really fair point. It's sort of registered when I saw like Matt and Nick Jackson still try to be like, we love the Southern California people or whatever as they're leaving the ring or whatever. But it didn't register to me that is an audience that AEW should have like really slapped with, and they didn't, did they?
Yeah, and it's the law of diminishing returns there too. But I mean, like NXT, kind of the same thing. They were dead for a lot of things. Raw. For a few things. I mean, it was just very noticeable this week that it's like everybody's kind of sitting on their hands until the comeback starts. And it's just very, very odd to me. But your turn. If you have anything.
Let me see. Let's go to Raw, which I watched a decent chunk of. I like the way they've been opening these shows around Cody Rhodes and the Judgment Day and stuff. I think it's just been a very steady narrative through line. But then to your point, right? Like Otis and Nakamura, it's like a tale of two Otises. They present Otis a lot more, especially given the fact that Otis has this match against Nakamura. Like he should have been given a lot more credibility going into NXT.
Yeah. I really liked on there. You're just picking up cats at this point,
aren't
you?
No, you know what? Like, I have a lot of cats. We still have two more cats that I could showcase during this show.
Please don't. No, I liked the way
out of my cats. Mama McWilliamson's proud for baby boy.
Okay. I liked the way the whole Judgment Day thing came together, though, with McDonough getting his jacket, and then, you know, and then Finn finally coming out and go, oh, you finally came around and stuff like that. So it looks like they're all on the same page. And then Drew making the deal with Rhea and stuff. It's like, okay, the heels are on point going into War Games. And I assume on Monday, Monday's Raw is going to suck. Either that or Friday's or tonight's SmackDown is going to stay. I don't know. One of those two is going to have the Thanksgiving food fight that they always friggin' have, which is stupid.
It's a food fight. Maybe it will just be relegated to a seasonal street fight, though.
It'll be Otis, because he's the fat guy.
Yeah, oh yeah, Otis, like, he has, like, a turkey smackdown.
Oh yeah, give me the pie!
Eat the drumstick and, like, hits him with the rest of the turkey.
And simultaneously, just to continue on this point, SmackDown, I'm going to give them some love. As if coming through the dreams of Jeff Hawkins. Kairi Sane, Io Shirai, or Io Sky, Bayley, and Asuka are all one team. There are things that could get me in trouble, but I will not go there. But I liked the uncertainty and the angle that started with Bayley denying that she hugs people. And then at the end, it's Asuka hugging Kairi for a reformation of, what was the name of that team? The Kabuki Warriors. And then Io comes in for the hug, and they're all saying, come on, Bayley. And Bayley's not certain at first. And then she gives in. I think this is setting up for Bayley being the Larry Zbysko in 92 of the War Games, where she loses the match for them. And then those three, turn on her. I think that's what we're going for here. I assume Becky Lynch will be announced tonight as the fourth for the other side, which I find uninteresting because she's not been involved in any of this. She's just there and she's on Raw. But we have to bring her in because she's the man and she's a star. I get it.
Well, I think she'll do just fine in the match so long as there are no answers in the form of a question.
I think she'll be fine in the match. It'll be fun. It's just there's no narrative thing to this somehow unless they go into Asuka taking the title off of her when she got pregnant, but I think that's kind of a stretch type thing because they were both baby faces at the time. It's just very weird, but I am looking for more. And the fifth, by the way, if you don't want a spoiler, earmuffs for about 10 seconds right now, starting now. Fifth guy is going to be Randy Orton on that baby face team, I think.
Against Damage Control?
No. For the Raw War Games.
Oh. Raw.
Against Judgment Day.
Oh, okay.
And end spoiler. I have nothing else. Do you have anything?
I don't.
Perfect. This has been Shake Them Ropes. Enjoy Full Gear. Enjoy your turkey. Say a little prayer for my dad. He had an emergency operation today. I'm going flying out there tomorrow to go see him. You can follow me at CrapGame13 on the old X. Follow Shake Them Ropes, all one word, on X as well. We are part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network for all your niche fandoms of pro wrestling. If you hate WWE, if you don't necessarily like AEW, lots of Japanese shows over there. We have also retro shows, including Days of Thunder. We have The Good, The Bad, The Hungy, which is our AEW-centric show. We have The Flagship with Joe and Rich covering everything, including back alley Japanese hardcore wrestling and alleys in Roppongi. I'm also on Fight Game Media. This week I was on both the Boom and the Dynamite show, breaking things down. $5 a month on Patreon, patreon.com/fightgamemedia. Or for the Dynamite show, we go free on the YouTube if you want to listen live. Chris is on the Instagram at @DOCTOR_NOV. Black Friday specials for Chris's guitar lessons. He'll tell you about them now.
True. That's right. Why not? Why the heck not? You know what? You start guitar lessons here first month, $30 for an hour lesson. That's right. All through December. I'm doing it. Black Friday sale. What? No. Hawkins.
I'm not apologetic now. I'm hoping for the deal.
No, you know what? I'm hoping people will come in. It's Christmas time. You got somebody you love. You got somebody you think would really hate an hour with me, and it's worth $30 to you. Either way, great way to do that. You just book yourself a guitar lesson with your old pal, Chris Novembrino. You go on to the Instagram, instagram.com/DOCTOR_NOV. And you book a lesson with me. You message me, DM me, as the kids like to say. That's direct message. If you're up with the parlance of our time. And you message me, and I'll talk to you, and then you talk to me, and we'll get you scheduled up. And that's how business gets done in the year 2023, people. Let's make it happen. Happy holidays.
We'll be back next week for our Survivor Series preview. Have a good week.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jesse Collings, and I want to tell you all about my show, the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we do a thorough analysis on the biggest issues and trends within the pro wrestling industry. We talk a lot about pro wrestling media. We talk a lot about fan culture and wrestling's place within general pop culture, and we talk about the broader influences that are shaping the way we discuss and analyze the pro wrestling industry. We've had some of the brightest minds in the pro wrestling intelligentsia on the show, including WrestleNomics host Brandon Thurston, both Rich Kreich and Joe Lanza from the Flagship Wrestling Podcast, Trevor Dame from the Through the Years podcast, and a whole lot more. This isn't a show for hot takes. It's not a show recapping the latest episode of television. This is a show focusing on the biggest topics in pro wrestling and doing a deep dive on the real stories behind the surface level analysis you might find elsewhere. The Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a try. Thanks.